2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you have your Bibles tonight and will, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll read verses here and try our best to give you what's on our heart. I don't know how long we'll be, probably won't keep you very long tonight, I don't think, and I don't know per se how much preaching we'll do. But I've had these verses on my heart for several days, and just this thought, these thoughts running through my mind and my heart and in my own life, in conviction of my own self and a challenge to my own heart. And I want to try to give you what's on, I don't know anything else to do, but give you what's on my heart. And so we'll just try to follow God, and however long it is, it'll be all right. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, you can stand if you want to and are able to, out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read the first four verses here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul, of course, writing here to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm interested tonight in these verses and what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy. And he says in verse number 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so for the last few days, the question's been rolling around in my mind and my heart. What is it that makes a soldier a good soldier? Now, we have to understand, and the first thing that crossed my mind and my heart was that if you're saved, we're all in the army. We've all got our papers, we've all been enlisted, we've all been put in uniform, and we all have a place in the service in the army of God. But there's something here, if the Apostle Paul doesn't just say to be a soldier, but to be a good soldier, there's got to be something that separates just a regular, average, ordinary, everyday soldier from a good soldier. There's got to be something that this good soldier possesses that makes him a notch or two above everybody else. There's got to be something, the old phrase kept rolling in my mind, that separates the men from the boys, if you'd have it tonight. And so I began to think in my own life, and what a challenge, what conviction my own heart has been under this week as I look in myself and realize I'm not as good a soldier as I want to be. I'm not as good a soldier as I could be. And I don't think that we'll ever get to the place, and if we do, there's probably something wrong, that we feel like that we've arrived or we are as good. Many people in our day may feel that way, but they're not in the ride. Everybody that feels like they've arrived have not. But I believe that a true soldier, if they've got the qualifications of being a soldier and being a good soldier, will always want to be better than what they are. But I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to just be a soldier. Anybody that, and I'm not taking anything away from salvation or casting a bad light, I'm not, but anybody that's saved can be a soldier. But we need some men and women that will be a good soldier. That'll go above and beyond just being a soldier. I look at my own self and my own life and I think, Lord, help me to be a good soldier. Lord, help me to do more than what... And it's not necessarily about what we can do, but there is an element of responsibility there. If you want to really get down to it, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and Paul's talking about all those weapons and the warfare and the armor, really if you dissect that and study it, it's a charge to the soldier. And a charge is different than a command. There are plenty of commands in the Bible, but a charge gives a responsibility. And what Paul is saying is, he's charging us as the soldiers of God that if we're going to be a good soldier, there's some responsibility that has to come. Many people want to come to the house of God and they want to sit there. And doing so doesn't change the fact that they're still a soldier. But taking no responsibility doesn't make us good soldiers. And so I thought about what it is that the Apostle Paul's trying to tell Timothy. And the first thing here in chapter number 2 is he talks about strength. A good soldier will be strong. He says in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, we must understand this strength of this good soldier is not his own. Many people have burned out in their own strength. Many people have perished spiritually on the battlefield because they're trying to fight in their own power. It doesn't work. This is not the first time Paul spoke this way. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's where our strength comes from. It's not about us or what we can do. It's not about some title that we hold. Being a preacher don't make you strong. Being a deacon don't make you strong. Being a Sunday school teacher or a church member, it doesn't make you strong. But it's the Lord inside of you. That's where strength comes from. David said, "I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And I understand that there's help in the brethren. I understand all that. It's good to be together. But many people, many preachers, many churches, many church members have perished in the battle because they've relied on everything and everybody but the Lord. And then everybody else's strength fails. There'll come a day, and there've been many of them, if you want me to be honest, that my strength has failed in battle. And there have been days, if you would be honest yourself, that your strength has failed. And if all we're doing, and I'm grateful that we can serve together, but we can't just rely on one another. There's got to be somebody who's able when we're not able. And the Lord is able. He's always able. There's never a time or a day when He's not able. There's never a situation He's not able to do. And so there's got to be somebody besides me and besides you that we have to draw strength from. And I'm glad we have it in Him. How many times, and I know it's just kind of slow and steady and to the point tonight. But how many times have we been satisfied just drawing strength from one another when we need more than that for the battle that's ahead? Now I'm grateful. Please don't take me wrong. I'm grateful to be able to come into this place and to have the people that we have, to be able to call on one another and ask them to pray and lean on each other. That's the way it's designed. We're all on the same side, all on the under the same captain, all facing the same enemy, all going in the same direction. But there's got to be somebody that when I faint out and you faint out, somebody who'll always be there. We have that in God. We have that in Him. And in Him there's strength. In His presence there's strength. I mean, you can come in, and many of you have experienced it. I know that I'm not the only one. You can come in dragging the bottom, feeling like quitting, all but ready to throw in the towel and go to the house and never come back again. And the presence of God blow through the place and pick you up, and you go out with your head held high. Why is that? Because there's strength in His presence. Was so for Samson. Was in the presence of the Lord. Wasn't in Samson. Now you can believe what you want to. I don't have any Bible for it other than taking what questions were asked. I don't think Samson was some supernatural huge man. I believe he was bigger than anybody else. I think he was an average sized, everyday, ordinary looking man. You say, why do you say that? Because they couldn't figure out where his strength came from. I mean, if he looked like some of these men in the tough man contest and all these weightlifting things, they wouldn't try to figure out. They'd just say he's just a strong man. But you take an average, ordinary, everyday man that might have weighed 150 or 200 pounds soaking wet and him be able to carry the gates of the city to the top of the hill, they're trying to figure out how's he doing this? And it was from the Lord. Go home, read your Bible. It wasn't in the fact, and I understand there was a connection there, but it wasn't just in the fact that he was a Nazarite. It wasn't just in the fact that he didn't cut his hair. It wasn't just in the fact that he abstained from the fruit of the vine. But the Bible said every time you read about a miraculous work by the strength of Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It was in the presence of the Lord. So there's strength in His presence. That's why it's so important. One of the reasons there are many, too many to be named. But that's why it's so important to come to the house of God and to be faithful to the house of God. For you never know when He's going to pass by and give the strength that's needed. We can't just go every once in a while. We've got to have it in these days. Anybody that can go a month and just come once or twice, they ain't really in the battle because they ain't using no strength. The average, and I'm not aiming to get rough tonight, I'm just being honest, but the average ordinary soldier that just wants to sit, it's easy to be in the uniform, it's easy. Everybody wants the uniform, everybody wants the brass, everybody wants the polished shoes, everybody wants to claim the name, but when it comes time to fight, we gotta have some strength that you just can't get sitting at the house. So there's strength in the presence of the Lord. There's strength in the protection of the Lord. To know that no matter what we face, God already knows about it. And nothing can get to us except it come through Him. That's why many people, and I know it's still a question, many people wonder how that when he lost his children and all his possessions and all his herds and his livestock, and his wife told him to curse God and die, they wonder how in the world a man like Job, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, scraping balls from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, how in the world he wouldn't just curse God and could say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's because Job had strength that was not of himself. He knew God was in control, even though he didn't understand it, and God had His hand on it, and it brought strength to the heart of Job. There are going to be days that you encounter things you don't understand. There are going to be days you face battles, and it looks like in your mind it's all but over, and all hope's lost, and you've lost the battle. But I'm glad when we get to our weakest point, Paul was told by the Lord, in our strength, in our weakness, His strength's made perfect. And it's at that time we can draw strength from Him. There's strength in the presence of the Lord. Strength in the protection of the Lord. There's strength in what's provided from the Lord. That's what Paul was trying to get
that church at Ephesus to understand, and every soldier that's ever been called into the army of God, that it's not in us or what we can do, but God's provided every resource, everything that we need to face the battle. But we're going to have to be clothed in it. We're going to have to put it on. And we cannot pick and choose. There are too many people in our day that are picking and choosing what parts of the armor they want. And majority of the time it's whatever's convenient for them to be able to put on at that time. And it's leaving them exposed in the battle. But Paul said twice, put on the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Not in your own might, but in what God's provided. He said, stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, praying always in the Spirit. Everything that Paul had named, every provision, it's not of us, it's of God. To give us what we need to face the battle. I don't know what battles you face this week. I don't know what you'll face tomorrow. But I know that God's able. And there's strength for us. And if we're going to be a good soldier, we're going to have to learn to tap into that strength. And it comes from God. And we can have it. We can be as strong a soldier as we want to be. And I don't know about you. That's a pretty sobering thought. To think that I could be the type of soldier that I really want to be. And I've made the statement, and I'm as guilty as the next person saying, well, I want to be a better person. Well, I want to be a better soldier. Well, if that's really the truth, if we really did want it, we would be. God help us. I was talking with a preacher this week. And I told him, I've been thinking about these verses and it's just been rolling in me. I don't know if it's for anybody else. I may just be preaching this to preach to myself tonight. I don't know. But I know what has been working in me. And I told another preacher this week, dear friend of mine, I said, I feel like a failure. When I look at what Paul's saying and what we could be, oh, it makes me feel so ashamed of what I am. I said, I feel like a failure as a preacher, a failure as a pastor. A failure as a husband and a wife and a father to my wife and my daughters. Because I could be so much more. And it's only my fault that I'm not. And if you would be honest with yourself, it is our fault we're no more spiritual than what we are. We're no stronger than what we are. But with all the resources, it'd be like somebody opening the key. I don't know how it is today. I know about stories from days gone by. But it'd be like somebody opening the key to Fort Knox and telling us we could have all the money that we wanted to have and we'd get enough to fill our wallet and say, that's enough. You say, I'd be foolish. Well, how much more foolish is it for God to say you can have all the strength, all the power, all the godliness you want to have, and then we'd get just enough to get us by. Most people would get everything they could get, rent U-Haul trucks, fill it up with all the money they could get. But you know, there'd be somebody that might go and say, I just want enough to pay off what I've got and get me by. And that's the way the majority of God's people look at spirituality. We just want enough to get us by what we're going through. And we're all guilty. From the pulpit to the last pew, we're all guilty. We could be so much more. I could be so much more. And it's in me. I don't want to just be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier. Because of the strength that God has for us. But a good soldier is not just known by strength. A good soldier is also known by stamina. That he can, as Paul put it in verse number 3, he can endure some things. I don't want to get this definition wrong because it's good. The word endure means to continue on without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. Stamina. Paul told Timothy that he was going to have to endure some hardness. If we look around in our day that we're living in, we're enduring some hardness. We're facing some hard days and some hard times. But we can go through it and not be affected by it. So many people are being affected and they're closing their Bible and going to the house or they're compromising and going somewhere else and taking the easier road. But a good soldier will go on through it and not be affected by it. Not because of who he is, mind you. It's no coincidence that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, put these qualities in order. But it is the strength that comes from God that gives us the stamina to go through what we're facing. Paul knew something about enduring. Paul was not, and I'm not trying to brag on a man, but he was no stranger to enduring some things. God couldn't have picked a better man to write these words than the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, at this very hour when he's writing to Timothy, he's in prison in Rome awaiting execution for preaching the gospel. And he said, Timothy, it is a sure thing that some hardships, some hardness is going to come, and it don't all come from without. There's some that comes from within. You're going to have to endure some things. See, this word good keeps coming up. It's above average. It's a better quality. And that's why all this enduring, this stamina, this strength from God is the reason, just in a few chapters over, chapter 4 and verse number 7, why Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. He wasn't, if the language that Paul's writing, if you really think about it, I know the fight is good and we should be fighting because it is a good fight to fight. But that's not how Paul was putting it. He said the fight I have fought is a good fight. In reality, what Paul was saying is, Timothy, be a good soldier. I have been. And he wasn't boasting or bragging in himself. He was talking about how it was that a man can become a good soldier. We've got to endure some things. Many, I'm not preaching to people that have never endured things. We've endured things as individuals. We've endured things as families. We've endured things as a church. We know about the hardness. We know about hard times. We know about hard days. But we've got to go on and be a good soldier. And it's possible through the Lord. But then I want to say, and I'll be done tonight, a good soldier is not just known by his strength or by his stamina. But a good soldier, you listen to me well tonight, a good soldier is known by his separation. He said in verse number 4, no man that warreth. If a man's going to fight, he cannot be entangled with the things of this world. Paul is clearly presenting a spiritual battle. And he said, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith and be a good soldier, you can't be yoked up with this world. You cannot be wrapped up. That's what the word entangle means. You cannot be wrapped up in everything the world has going. But you're going to have to separate yourself. I'm going to say something here. If I knew, and I'm talking about physically, if I went home today, tonight, and the call came on my phone, And I answered it. And they said, this is the United States Army and our nation's under attack. And you've been drafted to fight. And you're going to go to battle along with and names off a bunch of men. If I knew I was going to face an enemy, I'd want to know that all the men that I'm going, if I was going to be on the front lines, I'd want all the men with me for their head to be in the battle. And not at home, and not back what they was doing 6 months ago, and not in what this one's doing and that one's doing, but I want them to be focused on nothing else but the battle at hand. Because if they weren't, we're probably going to face some trouble. If we go marching into battle on the front lines and go headlong into the enemy and your mind's not where it ought to be, you're going to fall in a trap and probably lose your life. And it's no different from being in this spiritual battle. Our mind can't be on everything else going and coming. We can't be in the house of God wondering about what we're going to do tomorrow. And we can't be here tonight wondering about what we could have done different yesterday. Our mind's got to be right. We got to be separated. I'd want to fight with some men that were dedicated to the battle. And I couldn't get one specific man off my mind, and I'm done tonight as far as I know. I thought, Lord, if I've got to fight, and I'm going to tell you, we're in a battle. A spiritual battle. It's very evident. And it's going to be a fight. And if we've got to fight, I want to be and I want to fight alongside some men like Uriah. That all he thought about was the battle. David did what he did, tried to cover it up, called for Uriah to come home, said, I want to just give you a leave from the war. Go home to your wife, sleep in your bed, make yourself comfortable. There'll be plenty more fighting to do another day. And the Bible said that he slept at the king's door with the servants. And when David went out, he questioned him. He said, why have you done this? I said you could go home. I'm the king. What I tell you, you can do. Here was Uriah's response. He said, the ark and my captain Joab and the armies of Israel, my brethren, are on the battlefield. And they're sleeping on the ground. And he said, if they're there, that's where I ought to be. I'm not going home. I'm not getting in my bed. I'm not washing my face. I'm not spending time with my wife. I want to go back to the battle. Because that's where I belong. And the Bible said he even tried to get him drunk and get him to go home, and he still wouldn't go. You say, what was the matter with him? His heart was in the battle. I'm going to tell you something. I've come alongside some dear men and women along the years, and it's been very evident to me that their heart was in the battle. They weren't concerned about this world and what it had to offer. They didn't care. It didn't matter to them what they had or they didn't have. They were just in the battle. You know what they were doing? It's not about that we enjoy the fight. I don't know anybody that enjoys the fight. But it's exactly what Paul said. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. All them people were interested in was pleasing God. Doing what he wanted. Making him happy. At the end of the day, that's all that mattered to them. And I'm going to tell you something. Therein lies the reason why they could have revival in their day. Therein lies why the Spirit was so free to move in the churches in their day. Because all they were interested in, it didn't matter who had on a new dress. It didn't matter what kind of car they drove. Most of them didn't have them anyway. It didn't matter what color the carpet was, or whether or not the pews were padded, or whether they had heat or AC. None of that mattered. It was all about God. And they were good soldiers. And the captain's not changed. Still the same captain he's always been. Still as mighty as he's always been. It's 2019 and he ain't lost a battle yet. And he won't. But the ranks have changed. And now the majority of the army of God's more interested in all the leave that they can have rather than showing up for duty. We're more interested in what anybody else thinks, not what the captain thinks. But ultimately, in the army, I've never been in the military, don't know much about it other than what I've read. But when they were called to order, and their commanding officer walked before them, he wasn't going to ask their mama or their daddy, their husband or their wife, what they thought about them. He was going to give them a judgment based on what he thought about them. And I'm going to tell you something. When we stand before God one day to give an account for our service, He's not going to ask everybody else what they think about us. He's going to give us a report of what He knows about us. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for this place. And I thank God that I have people that love me. And I know I don't have any doubt. But what if somebody asked you what you thought? You would have good things to say. But I just wonder what my captain knows about me and what he'll say. That's what really matters. I want you to have good things to say. I'm going to tell you something. If I focus on what he thinks and do what he wants, then I know everybody else will just fall in. If you're doing the same thing I'm doing, if it's up to you, if it's in your heart to please him and my heart to please him, we'll get along just fine. I want to be a good soldier. Don't you? I mean, just honest in your heart before God. I don't want to just be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier. And I know it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks, but I'd like to live such a life and be such a soldier. But if time lasts and I leave this world and they roll my body in a casket in front of a pulpit somewhere, that people can walk by and say he is a good soldier. I want to be able to say with Paul that I've fought a good fight. Not just that the fight I've been in was good, but the fight that I did by the help of the Lord was a good fight. Don't you? As we stand tonight, I don't know what's on your heart. Don't know what you need to do, what you don't need to do. I just want to ask you, do you want to be a good soldier? How is it in your heart? You want to please the captain. You want to stand in rank and file before him and him be well pleased with you and your service. Have you been the soldier you want to be? I can honestly say I've not been the soldier I want to be. But I want to be better. If that takes more training, so be it. If that takes more exercise, so be it. Just want to be a good soldier. Some have come. Maybe you need to tonight. That's between you and God. You just mind Him. Do you want to be a good soldier? Is there any heart to be as God spoke to your heart about being a good soldier? Men and women. A good soldier in the army of God. Father in heaven, thank you for this privilege to be here tonight.